teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Friday, June 27th broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at republicbroadcasting.org. Old habits die hard. Log on and bookmark it today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. As I like to say, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. You won't want to miss a moment of today's broadcast because we're going to talk about regionalism as an old concept with modern implications, building your local voting precinct groups, getting started is far easier than you think, and we have a little success story to talk about today, and also just simply becoming vocal local. We'll take your calls and much more. Today, I will again be joined on air by our co-host, Monica Grand Prix, and we'll welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions at 1-800-313-9443. Now, your ideas and questions about this notion of becoming vocal local and forming your local voting precinct groups are very important, and we value your input. So, again, the RBN listener call-in line is 1-800-313-9443, and please make a note of that. Now, as I say so often on this broadcast, knowledge is power, but it's only powerful when it's combined with action. And that's why we become vocal local. And I've read before, and I'll read again from time to time because we're going to continue to draw new listeners. And hopefully we're going to continue to draw a flood of new listeners as this broadcast gets out and people know what we're talking about right here in the middle of the day. But I've written up a little creed, and I'm just going to give you a couple of lines out of it again so that you get an idea of what we're talking about when we say become vocal local. I'll start out. Here it goes. As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. And we can drop down into this text a little bit because this is what we're going to talk about today. Exposing globalist localism propaganda, vocal local reveals the true nature of the public-private partnership as aught but a naked move toward corporate fascism. Now, listeners, before I bring Monica on after this first break, I want to draw to your attention this word localism. It's an ism, and wherever there is an ism, if you'll dig in, you'll find that there's most likely a founder and there's a faith statement. But localism is a very peculiar word, and if you go in and look in your dictionaries and whatnot, your encyclopedias, I have a wide variety of both, you'll not find localism mentioned. Now, perhaps in a modern 1999 or 2008 Groliers or something like that, there may be some reference to localism. But localism is hidden behind another term, which is called regionalism. And unless you have the 1930 edition of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences, where localism is referred to see regionalism, you might not know that. But what is this concept of localism? Where is it coming from? One of the places that we need to be very aware of on this planet is a little institute called Tavistock in England. And Tavistock is joined to other groups around. But basically, Tavistock, in my opinion, is a propaganda mill. They're very, very crafty people. This is the change agent's guile. A lot of the material that comes on us and at us in our local areas has its source right here. As a matter of fact, there's a banner underneath this particular article that I downloaded from the Tavistock Institute's website. And when we come back from this break, we'll go into this concept. But the Tavistock Institute supports learning from change and innovation and change and change and change. We'll be back.
Do you want want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
Here, folks, on Become Vocal Local. For those of you just joining us on the AM and FM affiliates, we will be joined now with by Monica Grand Prix, our co-host. And I'll just say, Monica, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Will. Good afternoon, your time.
Good afternoon, your time. Good morning to the people in Hawaii as they're sitting down to two eggs, scrambled hash browns, and whole wheat toast. Today, Monica, I've got some information I want to share with the audience. I think you'll find it very interesting as well. This is going to come initially from the Tavistock Institute, but what we're going to do on this broadcast, folks, is to just pull back the veil a little bit so that you understand what is coming down, not only from a global standpoint, but largely from this Tavistock Research Institute in England and their corollary, Smith Institute. And so, Monica, if you can bear with and listen, I think you'll find some of this information valuable as well.
Okay.
All right. So this is from an article. It's titled Learning. And, again, this is downloaded directly off the TavistockInstitute.org website. It's probably no longer up there. I pulled this down in 2005 when I was doing my homework on becoming vocal local. And so I'll share this now with you. Listen very carefully. The title of this article is Learning, from, practice, and, lessons from learning. Now, when you have, how many times in the past year or throughout the course of the Iraq war, throughout the course of the Bush administration, we've been hearing, oh, well, it's lessons learned. Oh, we've learned a good lesson. We lesson learn. Well, please, my God in heaven, they're learning lessons, but they're learning lessons at the expense of all of the people in the United States and all of the people around the world. if they're still learning, it's time for them to go back to school and let someone else that knows what they're doing step into their place. However, what they're doing, folks, is they're laying out this propaganda of lessons and lessons learned and best practices that we'll find throughout all of the information from Agenda 21 and this implementation strategy that's coming on us and at us. Here's a sidebar in this article that I really want to share with you. It says, local matters. No speech by an aspiring contender for the Conservative Party leadership is complete without a section on localism. Got it?
Yeah.
It is a key theme of Labor's third term. Labor, that's labor socialism. And it's the focus of a growing number of institute projects. Partnership, working, is critically important. And again, I said this is localism is this public-private partnership, this naked road towards fascism. And there are other ways that it can be styled and other ways that it gets revealed. But I'll continue here. It is the central to a project on local public service boards. Haven't we been saying become vocal local? Local public service boards, which is being funded by the Improvement and Development Agency, Community Development, IDEA, which is IDEA, if you take the acronym apart. We are evaluating healthy living centers, as C-E-N-T-R-E-S. Whenever you see it, you know that when it's spelled that way, it's coming right out of England, usually the Tavistock. We are evaluating healthy living centers for the New Opportunities Fund, that's capital N, capital O, capital F, and recently completed a review of a local government association project to develop local domestic violence partnerships. Within local government, priority is being given to the improvement agenda. Now we're using the word, here's in agenda, and we have been commissioned by the LGA to help the association to understand what drives and sustains, there's our word, improvement at a local level, so sustainable development, right in one sentence. On that project, we are working with Warwick Business School's Local Government Center, and nothing is more important to effective local councils than the quality of the relationship between the an authority's political leadership, and this is the subject of a project commissioned by the IDEA, the IDEA, which we are delivering in conjunction with the Work Psychology Partnership. So this Work Psychology Partnership. Now, for those of you who have listened in this time slot in the past, you might have heard Bob Neverett speaking, and being one of the ones at the upper echelon of this tier of logical positivistic linguistic syntacticians, these people have a different form of language because they've been in this for a long time. And here's a gentleman, again, this is from the Tavistock Institute, a man named Philip Boxer. And Philip Boxer's written an article, and I certainly won't read it all, but what it's talking about is asymmetric demand and the 21st century challenge to leadership, again, Agenda 21. The axis along which demand used to run was one of comparison over time. Bigger and better and more convenient than we used to have. Greater value for your money, so on and so forth. As customers, we still want more. Isn't that what we started out with, this little greedy little world? Okay. As customers, we still want more, but only if it is different, customized, personalized, particularized, and timely. We want an experience that is unique and distinctive to ourselves within the context of our own particular lives. And I'll go up and just skip it into place. Symmetry between what the customer wanted and what the organization was supplying then, this assumption of symmetric demand, was that demand could be defined by what the organization offered independently of the particular customer's context. Now, in all of this, I want you to remember how many times when you have tried to interface with your local government, whether you're getting a license renewed or whether you're getting a tags for your car, whether you're getting a business license, you're always referred to as a customer. So don't think that we're talking about going to the big box store here and getting a new pair of slacks. We're also talking about our relationship as consumers or customers interface with our government. I'll continue in the article. Asymmetric demand is demand that is specific to the client's particular context and circumstances. We see examples of asymmetric demand wherever there is a demand for services that is particular to a customer's situation and circumstances. Alberts and Hayes argue that asymmetrical forms of demand are creating a transformational challenge for our time in which power must be taken to the edge of an organization. The edge is where the customer's demand meets the organization, and taking power to the edge of an organization means giving the people closest to the customer the power to organize the services around the demands of the customer. instead of expecting the customer to organize themselves around the services of the organization. Taking power to the edge necessarily goes with the idea of asymmetrical demand, because it is only at the edge that choices can be made about how to respond to the particular form the customer's demands will take. Now, how many of you heard yesterday from the various newsreaders the discussions in regards to the local Supreme Court, yesterday's recent Supreme Court decision in regards to the right to keep and bear arms? And what was in the grain of that? What is the kernel inside of all of that? Obviously, they cannot take away a constitutional provision. That they cannot do. But what did they do? They took it to the edge, an asymmetrical demand. They took the responsibility to the edge. They took it back out into the communities. And that's why we must understand absolutely that what we're dealing with here is the implementation of localism. And that's why we become vocal local. And this is where we can have the greatest amount of impact, because we can know what the agenda is by doing research carefully and then coming together in forming our local precinct groups and then joining together precinct by precinct, county by county, and basically taking our system of government back one party at a time. Now, this gentleman, this Mr. Boxer, he is associated here with another group. It's the USDOD Command and Control Research Program in Washington, D.C., Command and Control in the Information Age, USDOD Command and Control Research Program. Have you ever heard of government just basically being nothing but naked force? It's all command and control. And doesn't it just make you warm and fuzzy to realize that we have command and control networks that are set up to take this to the edge? They're bringing the sustainable development to America. So we need to understand that. And the idea then is to meet globalism on the home front as it transitions from global to local. Now, many of you know Joan Vion, and perhaps a number of the listeners have read her United Nations Global Straitjacket book. But in that, she makes several quotations from a man named Wally Endow, Dr. Wally Endow, and he created a new word. He coined a new word at one of these conferences, these high-level dialogue UN meetings, and that word is glocal. In other words, global to local. And so we need to understand that when we are meeting these sustainable mercenaries, as I like to call them, at the local level, and becoming vocal local, what we're dealing with is a program of action of globalism. It's getting global into the local. And that's where we can be effective, Monica. We can actually block it as it comes in. And so, how does that grab you?
Well, in the first place, and excuse me if my voice is rough, I haven't said anything today, but the Tavistock Institute was, it originated as the Family Discussion Bureau in 1948, and it's called the Tavistock Institute of Medical Psychology. Now, that ought to be a heads up all by itself.
Exactly.
And it was supposedly developed to improve the quality of adult couple relationships, prevent family breakdown, and enhance the lives of children. What do they think we are, children ourselves, that we need to be directed in our personal lives? And all I can say is whenever you hear the word institute, I'd say run in the opposite direction as fast as you can go. You know, just go. Don't even stop to collect $200. Because
yes,
you can bet that they're going to be working on bigger and better ways to manipulate your mind if you'll let them.
And the institutes, you know, the power and the foundations, the power and their influence, Rene Wormser's book, you know, when we read stuff like that, his excellent research and writing, which is still available in reprint, we get an idea that these institutes are largely fronts. And when an institute is commissioned, just like they were for this particular article that I read, when they're commissioned to do research on things, they do that research, and they get funded, and they get funded very well. But it's the result of that research that then comes out. Tavistock, like so many of the other institutes, if we go back and understand the very foundation of Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati, they said that they're never to be known by the same name twice. And so when you get involved with the various institutes that are out there, and Tavistock is certainly an important one,
right,
they hide themselves behind all of these new names, and they hide themselves behind the University Extension Program. And after this break, folks, we'll reveal that one to you as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hello, this is Tom with hempusa.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At hempusa.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. Space Program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Back, folks, right here on Become Vocal Local. I was going into the break, we're talking about the Tavistock Institute. I'll give you another quote right off of their website, and then I'll move over to the Smith Institute for a minute, Monica. Our work in local government, this is a quote right off the Tavistock Institute, our work in local government covers a spectrum of topics of particular interest to people involved in local partnerships, public service delivery and reform, performance improvement, and local governance. There's the word, governance, not global government, but global governance. Now, they're partnered up with a group called the Smith Institute, and the Smith Institute basically developed a seminar which took place on Tuesday, the 22nd of February, 2005, which was entitled Smart Localism. Now, listeners, you've heard of smart growth, so we have smart localism. And what was held by the Smith Institute, an independent research and education think tank, which publishes pamphlets and papers on the concept of localism. You know that a pamphleteer and people that publish pamphlets and papers have long been known as propagandists. And as we talked about in the anarchist series yesterday, much of what was being developed by Proudhon and Bakunin and even the Marxist socialists was developed by pamphlets and programs. And so we understand then that smart localism is a new concept and it's being propagandized on a global scale. So they continue a quote here, as well as debate on how to best strengthen local involvement in the development and delivery of public services, the event marked the publication of a new Smith Institute book, also called Smart Localism. So although the concept of localism has risen up the policy agenda, with all political parties arguing the case for greater local involvement in key policy issues, such as public service reform, a number of important questions remain about the key elements, processes, and potential benefits of localism. And, of course, when they're talking about best practices and the benefits of localism, they're not talking about what's going to be best for you. They're talking about what's going to be best for the local constituencies, which make up those precincts, those county committees, et cetera, that basically run our world. So we need to be very aware of these kind of terms. Wouldn't you agree, Monica?
Well, twisting words, you know, to work on our emotions is really how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
And as amazing as it may be to anyone, excuse me, who hasn't really taken a look, it's pretty hard to turn up a lot of information that would connect Tavistock and Smith to localism in America or with any of the other PNAC or Agenda 21 manipulators either. Most of the news that's easily available is just canned advertising to promote their plans. And universities are right at the top of the list of the promoters and the pushers. And can you believe that we pay beaucoup bucks to send our kids to those places to study this garbage? And we think we're doing something good for their futures. Are we stark raving nuts?
I don't really think we are, but I do think that we're being we're involved in a dialectical process, a diapraxy, if you will, dialoguing it, us into a consensus with these ideas. And you're right when you talk about the universities being up to their eyeballs in this. And yesterday, folks, we opened just a little bit about the Chambres de Commerce, the influence of the area chambers of commerce. Here's a little, very short article from the front page of our local newspaper, and this is one of those advertiser-type newspapers. Make plans now to attend the blank-blank Area Chamber of Commerce sponsored quarterly luncheon, skipping down in. I won't mention the woman's name. It's irrelevant. This woman is going to be a keynote speaker, business development specialist with the University of Missouri Extension based in Barton County. She will be the speaker. She is very active in civic affairs. Now, this is University Extension, folks. They used to talk about things like how to harvest black walnuts and how to increase your crop yield. They took over from the Extension. I guess it was called a county agent originally, and then the University Extension came in and took that position away. But she is very active in civic affairs and was a treasury analyst in the finance department of Leggett & Platt Incorporated, a Fortune 500 company. So here's this lady that's coming in, and she is a specialist, a business development specialist with the University of Missouri Extension office, and she's going to indoctrinate, basically, the local groups, the local people, the local Chamber of Commerce, and that's one of the purposes of the Chambers of Commerce is to bring together the local business folk and the bankers into one common place so that they're conveniently dialogued into this consensus, Monica.
Well, if I have a black walnut tree in my backyard, and I'm not sure how to collect them or store them, there are websites all over the place that you can, I mean, if your neighbor doesn't know, you know that you can type in how to, and you'll find that information, and it's free.
That's right.
You know, you don't need to pay for a college degree to figure out how to harvest black walnuts. But it's safe to say that for us regular folks out here who want to get active in our local government, or on the local level at least, and that's just about our last resort to stop the encroachment, and they know it too. So they've known it a lot longer than we have. So they're doing their level best to co-opt us before we can get up to speed.
That's right.
Well, gee, they've only got a 60-year head start on us, and they're closing in fast. So, and they've got all the money and influence they need to do it. So we're going to have to get really creative if we're going to throw them over the fence.
That's it.
So anyway, here's one. Pardon?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I did manage to find one localism project that I thought was pretty interesting, and it's called the Houston and Southeast Texas Resources Center.
And we'll get into that right after this break, folks, with Monica Grand Prix. Again, this has become Vocal Local. Stay with us. 3-minute break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
All you men out there, you need to listen up. By the age of 60, one in two men already have a prostate-related health issue. What does this mean? It might be an enlarged prostate, difficulty going to the bathroom, and a diminished sex drive. Not a pretty picture. If you're a man, you need to give your body nutrition to support prostate health. There's no question about it. Many people hear this and they might think saw palmetto, but there's something so much better out there. It's called Beta Prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. So before you try anything else, try Beta Prostate. Ignoring your prostate's not going to make the problems go away. Taking Beta Prostate is guaranteed to provide effective, all-natural support. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Call now and find out how you can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. Call now.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states 4 times, in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
Back again, ladies and gentlemen, and if you would like to call in today, our number is 1-800-313-9443, and we'd like to hear from you as you, if you might have a story or an incident to relate to localism as it's coming on you and at you. Before we go back to Monica, Monica, there's another layer of government that lays out there that not very many people are aware of. I've discovered it and exposed it on other broadcasts, and we'll certainly get into it in greater detail. But in Missouri, and probably in your state too, listeners, there's a layer of extra-constitutional, non-governmental action happening just between the counties and the state, and it's called, in this area, the Regional Councils of Government.
Right.
Regional Councils of Government. And so this is the place where every time there's money that comes available from the international community, from federal monies, sometimes from the state, but generally from federal agencies and from international community to implement Agenda 21 and other things, smart growth, new urbanism, economic and social development councils, et cetera, this layer of government called the Regional Councils of Government exist. And whenever the money comes available, they have what they call a call window opens, and they call out, and all the little piggies come in and grovel in the trough and come home with their trinkets and their baubles.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand that when we think about regionalism, and I'm quoting from an encyclopedia article here, regionalism has been called a manifestation of world federalism, and federalism is integrally tied with the concept of anarchism, which we brought up yesterday. It's basically the destruction of the state. And so through this concept of regionalism and world federalism, have you heard of the World Federalist Council and the International Democratic Union? We need to be aware of these folks, Monica.
Well, we've sure come a long ways from Thomas Jefferson's unembarrassed freeholders to being international subjects, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Now, tell me about this project that you looked up. I'd like to hear about it. I'm not aware of it.
Okay, it's called the Houston and Southeast Texas Resources Center, and they apparently have four main goals, according to their own mission statement. And one of them, of course, the most important one, I suppose, would be the economic issues. And they say widening economic disparity and growth of poverty are the cause, result, or inhibiting factor to progress and resolving most every problem, local or international. Successful localities and their place in local support networks are key to creating economic balance, raising standards in poor communities, and resolving local and international issues. Then they go on to the environmental, and they say increased local production of goods and agriculture promotes energy conservation and sustainability. I hate that word. And it improves the standard of living for many people within the community. This necessary benefit to the community relies significantly on consumer education and awareness through local media and dissemination of local values by individuals and organizations throughout the community. Then on the community needs level, they say local representation in media in order to build, there's that media again, in order to build social responsibility and raise standards of living, increased avenues for local expression, greater connectedness for the communities, impacting safety and public health, as well as satisfaction and diverse educational interests. Then the last one is cultural resources, and it's promoting arts and organizations and traditions, local markets, to form the identity of a community. Beautiful words. It depends on local interest and support from local individuals and businesses in order to thrive and contribute significantly to the quality of life in communities. That sounds so soft and fuzzy.
I'm just howling over here silently to myself, Monica.
I just feel so aware and socially responsible.
If I would have started out today's broadcast and just opened up this big, ugly, orange, 8.5 by 11, 300-some page, Agenda 21 Earth Summit, and began to read, folks, Monica is simply reading something that has been written by someone who is so steeped in Agenda 21 and sustainable development that they just pour this stuff out. It's building consensus. But, you know, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, if our governments are at all interested in our standard of living, I think that their behavior belies the word. If we understand really, folks, that standard of living is one of those subjective terms that if you were to compare with the Southern Hemisphere and understand that in order for us to merge comfortably, let's just say, with our Northern Hemisphere partner, Mexico and Paraguay and Uruguay and all the way down to the Canal Zone, if we're to comfortably merge with those peoples, we're going to have to go down to the level of their peasantry. And so most of what we hear is hogwash. It's all about destroying our system. Agenda 21 depends upon demand. And so this asymmetrical demand discussion, in order for there to be a continuing demand for construction, let's say, in our country, we have to destroy the houses that we have. We have to regulate people out of them with codes and to show that they're not they can't withstand windstorms or tsunamis or locust plagues or fire or tornadoes. And so
I'm sure refrigerator boxes would work better.
I think they would. They would. The insurance on your refrigerator box would be so low that even if you had a repetitive loss claim, we could still find a little bit of cardboard to fix your place.
Right. You could just haul them off to somewhere else if there's a hurricane.
Or you could use them as part of the local energy, and then you could just burn your soggy boxes after the storm. Wouldn't that work?
I suppose so.
I guess it's sustainable agriculture. You could till your rotten boxes into the ground and grow vegetables.
Well, anyway, it seems to me, you know, that if these people really had, and they don't claim their words, there are no names that you can attach to those words.
Exactly.
Or organizations that you can attach to it. But there's a basic element missing in all of these wonderful words. How do they explain the fact that every businessman in Houston who has receipts in his cash drawer at the end of the day is going to still stuff them into a bank bag and deposit them in a federally insured bank, where the money will be merged with the money of all the other towns and states and countries in the world? And I want to know, how does that build Houston's economy and bring those poor folks out of poverty?
And even
the money that reaches people through their wages and salaries is still going to disappear into that same giant banking maw, at least until someone in town borrows some money from those same national and international banks. But, well, if anyone in Houston still has good enough credit to borrow money.
And if there are any banks in Houston. That dynamic could go the way of the horse and buggy. The idea of one of the things that was in that article, one of the little kernels in there, was the idea that is expressed as value added. One of the real sustainable agriculture topics around Missouri is value added agriculture. In other words, because you have grown something, let's say, you turn it into something else, you add a value to it, and then you market it. And so, let's say you're raising blueberries or something like that. A value added might be a sugar coating on your blueberry. So a value added is part of this discussion when we think about best agricultural practices, and we need to be aware of it. Again, you know, as we've said on one of the early broadcasts here, when we're talking about the high cost of hay and diesel and rising the cost of beef, a value added beef product would be just simply go ahead and make sausage out of it, or tenderize it, or cube it, or do something like that, or make a fancy package.
Right.
So we're really not changing anything.
Production cost increases.
It's production cost increases. It changes demand. It increases the demand for packaging and for promotion and advertising and services and all of these truly non-productive things. But when you get down to the very bare bones of what you're looking at, it's still beef.
Right. And when you get back to the part about, you know, the money that's being deposited into the banks that is merged with everybody else's money, do they really expect us to believe that the money that is deposited in a local bank is going to be held in bills marked for that town's use only?
Absolutely not.
You know, so what's changed? And as an aside, isn't it just awfully convenient that all of a sudden the price of gas is forcing us to shop locally? So they're hitting us from two different, well, many, many different directions, but at least in that regard, too.
Well, we're dying a death of a thousand cuts, and it's perfectly intentional. It's all moving us to, you know, moving us out of the country, moving us out of the small towns into these new sustainable communities where they basically just, the way that new urbanism works and what the green builders are trying to do is they'll put shops on the bottom floor, and then they'll put two or three levels or stories of houses above that. The idea in this is that supposedly you'd be able to work downstairs. I mean, now we're going back to the feudal three-field system where we have our silversmiths and our glassblowers live downstairs, and their apartments, their tenements are above. So,
and the land is all being declared wilderness and public land that we can't use. You know, it's money, 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 money. And they always tell us that it's the love of it that's the root of all evil, but it's not really true. And don't let anybody kid you about it. It has nothing to do with love at all. It is the money, period.
And the power that comes with the money.
Absolutely.
When you, like we were talking about yesterday, one of the things that the anarchists hated was super accumulation of wealth generated by exploiting peoples and lands.
Well, the money changers have been angling for world domination for over two centuries now. And all that time, they haven't missed a beat. I mean, they have not missed a beat. We back down for them and cooperate with our own destruction.
Well, so let's talk a few minutes now about solutions to this. Last night, folks, I had the opportunity, as I've encouraged you to do, I got a copy of the precinct map for the county that I've recently moved into. And I have the precinct map, and I contacted some people. We met at a local restaurant around the 7 to 9 o'clock period when the restaurant was slow and there was a back room we could talk in. And so in the space of this broadcast so far, we've now got another local vocal group already created. So if you haven't taken advantage of this information, you might go back and listen to the archives. Because if you will imply what we're telling you, remember, knowledge is power. It's only powerful when it's combined with action. So if you'll just take action on this and empower yourself locally. I spoke to people that I'd never talked to before that are very concerned about what's coming on us and are very aware. I had no idea these were the caliber of neighbors that I have access to right here in my own local voting precinct. But, a new group is born. It's not something that has to be terribly difficult. We learn as we go. We teach everyone we can. We provide information and share. But what the closing request to me was to bring more information. People want to have this stuff in and see the tools. They want to see these documents. And so this is what we, as listeners to the RBN radio monument, monolith, if you will, there's so much here, as listeners on a regular basis and as active researchers, we can become sources and resources for the people right where we are, and I think that's one of the most important things. One discussion that came up was when we were deciding on when we would meet the next time was getting out in and getting people to come in, and we talked about emails and we talked about mailing, but really what we decided on is we're just going to use the telephone book and let our feet do the walking and go around and talk to people. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And actually, it kind of goes along with what I was saying on the original broadcast that I was on about, well, I didn't really get into it, but about ways to contact people and the fact that it's a really good idea, you know, if you're going to be putting together information about people in your local area, speaking from an advertising background, it's a really good idea to have a little bit of background about the people that you'll be speaking with, because if you go in empty, you're going to come out empty. You know, they're busy people. They don't have time to, you know, fool around with introductions. You need to be able to walk in and know a little bit about their situation if you're going to make some progress with them.
Right.
So I really think local business people who are their backs are to the wall, I think those would be some excellent contacts in putting together local discussion groups. So,
if we were to use the some of the information that I've collected, and we'll talk about it on air from time to time, but so some of the information that I've collected from the University of Missouri University Extension Program, take that to a businessman, schedule a lunch with them, sit down, and show them the propaganda agenda in these documents. He might reevaluate his association with the Chamber of Commerce, and we could encourage him to continue to go. But then be a good finder. Report back to us on what the agenda is and how it's being unveiled and what suggestions and what topics are being discussed so that we don't have to go to all of those meetings ourselves. The idea of many hands making light work, the committee system inside of our groups, let other people, give other people the reins of power, if you will, and empower them to become active and vocal, local. And one of the things that we talked about, Monica, and when we were thinking as to what day of the weeks and what days of the month we could meet, we know that our local town here in this is completely inside of this precinct has its city council meeting on a specific night of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that you just have to cross that off. We can't have a meeting the same night they're meeting. We need to be at that meeting.
Well, what you were saying about Chamber of Commerce members, actually, I would be more interested in the non-chamber members. Because the chamber members are they've pretty well already arrived. You know, they're doing better than the mom and pop businesses, the little businesses that are independently owned and aren't really members of anything. I think you can make more headway with them because they have more concerns and they have no outlet for those concerns already established. So if you're going to establish a local group, it just seems to me like those would be the first people to target because they are the most cash-strapped.
So perhaps in that we could think that maybe some of the people that are in the local chamber, that would be where we'd want to do our database. Perhaps they were some of the very ones that helped to bring the Chamber of Commerce into existence originally.
And they may also be some of the ones who are involved in this localism movement.
That's right.
So you need to know a little bit about these people before you even address them, or try to.
Exactly.
And I'm just thinking that going a little bit further down on the scale might give you more more results.
Well, certainly in the beginning, it would be difficult to welcome into your group a professional change agent, you know. That would be a real sore spot right off the bat.
Yep.
First of all, because it's so easy for someone that has been trained through these various Excel programs that are put out or is familiar with the Tavistock Institute, it's very easy for them to come in and be the worm in the apple that you're trying to make. Now, folks, we're going to come back after this break to head toward the close of today's broadcast. Again, your calls are welcome at 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. GasFreedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to gasfreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to gasfreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Personal information should stay personal, but the growth of contactless ID cards, passports, and credit cards, and the proliferation of RFID has caused an increased threat to sensitive personal information, with the risk potential for RFID-enabled contactless cards to be read without your permission. Introducing Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder products from Identity Stronghold. If you have a credit, debit, or transit card with a contactless smart card system, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have an employee ID, proximity card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you have a government employee PIV, CAC, or TWIC card, you need Identity Stronghold. If you received your passport within the last 2 years, you need Identity Stronghold. Identity Stronghold Secure Sleeve and Secure Badge Holder create a barrier to RF signals necessary to power and communicate with RFID-enabled smart cards and passports. Protect your personal information. Visit IDStronghold.com today or phone 800-610-2770 because personal information should stay personal.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
We're back, friends. Right here on Become Vocal Local, and if you think sustainable development is exclusively an urban problem, it's time for you to guess again. We have a caller, Monica, Tom in Maine. Can we bring up Tom from Maine?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks very much. I was curious, you started talking about the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what your problem is with that group?
Are you speaking to me?
Well, let me go ahead and say a little bit, Monica, and then you chime in as well.
Okay.
One of the problems, Tom, is we have to understand its origins and where it came from, and it's one of the original source of it is from France at the time when socialism was just really getting going, and they were calling it the Chambres de Commerce, which is just simply French for Chambers of Commerce. And the idea is that we have to be able, in order for propaganda and new techniques and new ways to get out to the people, in order for that to work, we have to develop groups like the Extension Office and Chambers of Commerce to go in and reach and work with those people. They feel empowered by coming together as a group of local business people, but it's the speakers that come there, and it's the programs that they develop, and it's the things that they implement that we have to be aware of. Monica?
Well, I have no problem with the Chamber of Commerce, but what you're saying is basically the point that they are organized, whereas the smaller businesses who are not members are not. And they have no mutual voice. They have no collective voice. And this would just be a means of giving them a collective voice to come together with their issues and problems. So I don't have a problem with the Chamber of Commerce. I've worked with the Chamber of Commerce. But I do believe that the smaller businesses that are cash-strapped should also have a voice.
Let me go back to Tom here and say, are you involved with the Chamber of Commerce? Are you a member or are you associated or work with one?
No, I'm not at all. I was just curious. It seemed like you were sort of indicating or suggesting that the organization is rotten top to bottom.
Well, it's only rotten in that it was founded on an ulterior motive. Now, it may be in your newspaper, perhaps in one of the towns around there in Maine, you'll have heard of something like a dream project or a downtown revitalization program that might be coming in.
And they're doing it in my town right now.
They're doing it in your town right now. I know they are.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, because it's happening all over. It's a new way of going. And basically what this is, it's taking federal and state grants and aid and coming in and sprucing up local businesses and rebuilding the sidewalks and changing the water systems and so on and so forth to basically make these little sustainable communities look more attractive when people are strapped for cash and can't drive. Now, in and of itself, that sounds great, doesn't it? But those people, those independent businessmen, are basically riding in on borrowed money, money that they did not generate. And there's nothing in the world that would stop an entrepreneur, an independent businessman, if he felt like the front of his building needed sprucing up, or if he needed potted street trees or some kind of fancy decoration in his sidewalk, he can go to any bank and get a loan. But what they're doing basically through the chambers and through the regional councils of government is they're loaning that money into existence, putting it on the back of the people, and they're using it for private people. That's a public-private partnership, and I'm opposed to them. Thanks for the call, Tom. We're out of time. And, folks, you've been listening to Become Vocal Local. And on behalf of myself, William Roberts and Monica Grand Prix, thank you for listening, and until the next time, good afternoon.